أركان في الدين صوم وصلاة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى وصحبه ومن سن بسنته ودعا بدعوته لا يوم يبعثون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we are once again welcoming you our usual program, Talk on Islam. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send the peace and salutation to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his entire family and the companions and the people who are following this path until the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, I have two shuyukh with me, front of me on the studio. Before we start the program title tonight, I would let the Sheikh Muhammad Jallo to send a salam to the greater listeners, then coming to Sheikh Hamizet, inshallah. Sheikh Muhammad, falyatafaddal maskura.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Welcome you to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Hamizet, falyatafaddal maskura.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سن بسنته إلى يوم الدين. We solicit the prayers and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his great messenger and upon his household and his companions and upon everybody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to understand, to perceive and to see the hikmah, the wisdom in following his full stop to the day of judgment.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Hamizeti. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Hamizeti, if you remember, Sheikh Muhammad was busy last week. What we have spoke about last week was, we did highlight quite a lot of burning issues within the society generally, but specifically the community of the Muslims, what is happening between us. We did talk about one of the contentious issues, which is what I call it the old schools and the new schools, which you have really dealt it very clearly and very, very explanatory, in the sense one who may not will not accuse you not to really deal with the situation. You did not sigh out. You have really, really dealt with it. Until we did a point, because I don't want to be accused to call digging the problems out without bringing the solution to them. In that, you may seem to be what you call, you are part of the problem, but you are not part of the solution. Ones who always talk about problems, continuous talk about problems, he has never given people a glad tiding. He may become a problem himself. And then I did promise the listeners, coming this sitting, by Allah willing, if Allah enabling us to do so, which he did by his mercy, what are the solutions, or in another word, how do we reconcile these different opinions of one platform? Sheikh Hamizeti, you may take on that, then Sheikh Muhammad will come.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tamassaka wa fa'ala wa Bashara bi sunnatihi ila yawm al-din. Well, brothers and sisters and all the listeners out there, if we can recall last week or on this very program last week, you know, the burning issue, the topic that was under discussion was the apparent irreconcilability between the two schools of thought. When we say the two schools of thought, we do not necessarily mean that the madhab or the the school of thought that are known
mm-hmm.
in Islam.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a contentious groups in society or in the Islamic community,
mm-hmm.
particularly the Gambian one, or specifically
mm-hmm.
the Gambian Islamic community,
mm-hmm.
whereby we define one group as the
mm-hmm.
modern group
mm-hmm.
in terms of their perspective, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of their interaction and dealing with current situations or current issues,
mm-hmm.
and we call the other the traditional
mm-hmm.
or the old school,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that definition of being an old school
mm-hmm.
is not demeaning
mm-hmm.
their intellectual integrity.
Ability.
It has more to do with
perception,
the prevailing situation that was then
mm-hmm.
dominant
at that
during
point.
Their time.
Okay.
Which was manifested one
mm-hmm.
in the scarcity of materials,
mm-hmm.
resources, or okay. sources.
Okay.
Okay. And which actually is an interpretation,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not very much wrong,
mm-hmm.
in our ontological interaction with nature,
mm-hmm.
that is our existential dealing with nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite wisdom,
mm-hmm.
in his encompassing knowledge and power,
mm-hmm.
well, actually, I think even geographically,
mm-hmm.
in location-wise,
mm-hmm.
people are placed in different locations which are compatible and amenable
mm-hmm.
to their psychological, mental, physical, biological requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So for us as Africans, well, I'm not giving a stereotype or a very unique, you know, formation or presentation of an African mind.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about, nature itself sometimes
mm-hmm.
and or in almost in every situation
mm-hmm.
assigns
mm-hmm.
rule to people.
Mm-hmm.
And people can never go beyond
mm-hmm.
this rule.
Mm-hmm.
They are naturally assigned to them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is
mm-hmm.
we have the young generation who has at their disposal
mm-hmm.
everything called references for this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the old school
mm-hmm.
who actually exerted,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in exhaustively
mm-hmm.
to the limits,
mm-hmm.
in fact, what was beyond their control
mm-hmm.
to achieve at least a little, I mean, out of love, out of that desire,
mm-hmm.
out of a passion and compassionateness,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to acquire as much as possible
from the little,
about this deen.
From the little they
so,
have.
I mean, these two schools, they found themselves in collusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that collusion
mm-hmm.
was brought about by a historical factor.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, sharing one
mm-hmm.
orbit,
mm-hmm.
one,
mm-hmm.
and being in the same band or
mm-hmm.
bandwagon, that
mm-hmm.
is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, diversity in unity, unity in diversity.
Mm-hmm.
which is an acceptable and an axiomatic, which means simply it is an unchangeable principle
mm-hmm.
in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes Islam so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, certain tendencies began to evolve and they've taken shape and form.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I'm not prepared to accommodate
yes.
the others'
views.
Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared
mm-hmm.
at least to give the benefit of doubt
mm-hmm.
to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not prepared
mm-hmm.
to even listen to the other party. Well, this leads to what? Intellectual bigotry.
Why this dogma?
Is what is eating up the ummah
mm-hmm.
and it is creating problem.
Mm-hmm.
To a point,
mm-hmm.
in fact, intellectually, Islamic scholars are labeled according to the country where they acquire their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
not on the amount or quality
mm-hmm.
or the essence or the beauty of the person's, you know, behavioral reflection,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of the knowledge he has acquired. Whether on the moon, on the stars, the farthest planet, no matter what is important, is that person interpreting what he has in his mind practically?
Mm-hmm.
This is the most important thing. So I think my brother is here. He is an expert on this aspect of what we're talking about.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Hamed Jete. You have given a very beautiful summary of what happened. Sheikh Muhammad, I think you have a picture on now.
Yeah.
What the subject matter is. Sheikh Muhammad, what drive us into this situation? After all this, one platform, he did mention unity in diversity, diversity in unity. The sources are one. Yes, he make an excuse for the geographical, sometimes has some, what he call, fragment tendency. But the human beings are very adaptable. And then we are receptive at the same time. Why can we come out from this shackle, Sheikh Muhammad?
Well, thanks Sheikh Bashir for that question. Alhamdulillah, I know I've missed some little, but Alhamdulillah, I've been able to get at least a summary of what is said the other time. You see, these two schools, that's the old and the new school. Even in the Arab world, they have what they call the katatib. And this katatib is just like what we have as the majlis or called the local daras. And then they have these, the modern schools. But up to this day, whether the Arab world or we, the Africans, these things are still in existence. The katatib still exists, though in a, it's not as it was before. And the same thing to Russia. We still have them, even though there is some deduction. It is true, it is the first school, the majlis. It is the first school. But the problem, sometimes when you look at the majlis to that of the new or the modern schools, as Sheikh Jete had just mentioned, you know, before, there's no enough money or
resources
to build school. There's resources to build schools. And then most people didn't learn through that system. Taking the chalk, using the blackboard, children sitting on the benches or so. They didn't go through that system. But they are also contributing. Their own contribution is to help the small kids learn little from their deen. And there is no special curricula that is used.
So they are foundational.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's say some of them. One of the importance, let's look at the advantages and disadvantages. Because that will also help us come out with a solution.
Okay.
And when we look at the advantages of the old school, that is the katatib, or known as the majlis, the kadaras. One thing is the respect. It's an advantage.
Okay.
People respect their teachers.
Mean authority.
Yes, they respect their teachers, and whosoever they know is a person. Anyone, you see, for example, let's say somebody who has passed through that system. System of the daras, the majlis, the katatib, you find the respect they have to their teachers is not the same respect people have for their teachers in the modern school.
Okay.
So people who are there, they're disciplined, they're well disciplined, in the first school, when you look at the discipline, they are better, far better. They're far better.
Why is
because
that?
Because for them, nobody will call the teacher by his
name.
Whereas in the modern school, you find students calling the teachers by their names. Even sometimes in our schools, a student will call the name of a teacher. Then I will say, who is that? Is it your son or your brother or your younger brother? They say, no, it's a teacher. So a teacher, you call him just by his name? This one is not happening in the other.
What make you to react to that? Is it any substantial evidence in the sayings of the Prophet would make you react like that?
Well, actually, you see, I believe that it depends on the teachers themselves, those who are teaching. It depends the way you bring up that particular child. It depends the way you discipline the child. So as far as discipline is concerned, it's more advanced in the former school than the modern school.
Okay.
That one is accepted. Another thing is the disadvantages on the other side, as far as this first school is concerned, the daras or the katatev. The child will not be given chance to variety, because like in the modern school, the kid is open to different subjects. Though he's learning the deen, yes, he's learning the deen. It's not only on the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran. It's not only on the hadith. It's not only on the tawhid, the seerah, etc. So many subjects are taught. So the child is introduced to so many subjects. Here we are not talking about the English subject first. We are talking about the Islamic subjects. Most importantly, the Arabic language. Most importantly, the Arabic language, which is taught in the modern schools. But little, if not at all, in the former schools, the madrasas, the daras or the majlis, are called the katatib. Unlike some other areas, when you go, for example, to Senegal, in their own local daras, the language is taught. The Arabic language is taught in the local daras. We find some people, because the problem is with some people from this local daras, or the people from this majalis, the problem is the language. There's a barrier.
The barrier is him.
It's a language. It's a language. The stuff is there. The stuff is there.
Okay.
But the problem is the language.
Okay.
Because they cannot express themselves using the Arabic
fluently.
Using the Arabic language. But when you speak, they may understand you.
Okay.
But they cannot speak.
Okay.
But when you look at it again, we have people who studied in this local daras.
They are well spoken.
They can write poets, for example.
Okay.
And they have never been to any Arabic school.
Okay.
Or these modern schools. But they are given that knowledge.
Okay.
We have people, even Gambians, whom you know, have written so many
poems
on that, in Arabic, pure Arabic. And when we look at it, mashallah. So the knowledge is there. But for some, the problem is the language.
Okay.
It's the language.
Okay.
But different from one area to another. Some countries, even in these daras, they teach the Arabic language, like that of Senegal.
Okay.
See, for example, you come across people who tell you maybe they studied in one of these local daras in Medina Gunas, for example. They find out that they do some languages.
Lugha.
But in other areas, you find the daras, local daras, everything is centered only on the Quran. And you can't even find hadith, possibly. It's only the Quran and fiqh. The most important thing, the more emphasis on the fiqh and the tafsir of Quran. The fiqh and the tafsir of Quran. So, but these two, the old and the new, is just a complementary action
to one another.
So they complete. It means the old school is to complete, is serving as a complementary to the modern school, and the modern school should also serve as a complementary to the old school. This is because even when you go to the Arab world, you will find students in the university. They sit on chairs. They listen to the sheikh, or they use the board, but yet still they go to the Masjid al-Haram, the Masjid al-Nabawi. They join the majlis of shuyukh, and they get some stuff from them. Now, when you look at a student, for example, who graduated in any university in the world, but has passed through that first school, the old school, you find he's better than the person whom you know has only gone through that modern
school only
system of education. You understand?
Okay.
So that's an advantage. Okay. That's why I said it is a complementary action. The majlis is a complementary to the modern school, and the modern school is also a complementary to the old school.
Okay.
Another thing.
Okay.
There's a disadvantages of some daras, local daras, the majlis. The ustaz or this the karamoko or the serene of that particular majlis will instruct his children not to seek knowledge from anyone except from him.
Okay.
This another disadvantage.
Wherein
the teacher will instruct his students not to listen to any other person and not to take not to take any instruction from any
other
any
person sources.
Except from
him.
Him.
Okay.
This one
mm-hmm.
is a disadvantage.
Okay.
Because if you say, okay, for example, in the modern system of education, one can listen to this teacher, he can listen to that teacher.
So I
he will learn this subject from that teacher.
I cannot say I'm the only way.
Yeah, because you cannot teach everything. You see?
Okay.
For maybe you are good at the Quran, the tafsir of Quran, but you are not good at the fiqh.
Okay.
Or maybe you are not good at the hadith, you are not good at other language, other subjects.
Okay.
So for them, this is the disadvantage.
Okay.
Whereas the modern system of
mm-hmm.
education,
mm-hmm.
the teacher will not say, don't listen to any other teacher.
Okay.
You can learn from him, you can learn from any other person.
Okay.
You see, so you can go to somebody who is good at the lugha,
uh-huh.
the language,
uh-huh.
the syntax, the
uh-huh.
grammar,
uh-huh.
you learn from him.
Uh-huh.
And you go to somebody else to learn another subject.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else another subject.
Uh-huh.
At the end, you become somebody
versatile.
Who is educated and versatile.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, the person from the local dara,
uh-huh.
he will only listen to his own teacher. He will not listen to any other person. And he will only rely on what he is given.
Mm-hmm.
There is no room for any research, no room for any question, any other question. And then, this time, an advantage with the local daras.
Mm-hmm.
Another advantage is that
mm-hmm.
this student
mm-hmm.
will be able to translate
mm-hmm.
what he is learning
mm-hmm.
into his local language, his
okay.
mother tongue.
Okay.
So this is another important thing.
Okay.
Because let's say the student listening to a Sirin or Karamoko
mm-hmm.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
teaching him how to translate the Holy Quran, the tafsir in his language, the full language, for example.
Even
then
write,
he will be able
write a letter, yes, communication.
Then he will be able
mm-hmm.
to know, to master the tafsir in his language.
And then it was then, purpose for
yes,
that.
And then the Mandinka also
mm-hmm.
will be able to bring up students from that tribe who will do the tafsir in the Mandinka language.
Okay.
So the world of the same,
mm-hmm.
others the same.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that, that's also is another advantage, because
mm-hmm.
we have problems with some people whom you know have graduated in some universities, but they cannot express themselves in their own languages.
Well,
you see,
this one
is a problem.
I'm not graduated,
but I have a serious
problem to give a speech. I remember one particular say, can you speak without speaking English? But the saddest thing is, most of those things, I learned them through English language. I have a difficulty. I can stand the public. I tell them, how did you say this in our language?
Even myself, I used to get the same problem. In some
okay.
words, I cannot get them.
Okay.
I need to get some vocabulary. I need to go through some people to get some fuller words, for
okay.
example.
Okay.
So it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But for people whom you know have done this translation, either, for example, even the smallest book, the Akhdari
yes.
in Fula, for
yes.
example,
yes,
and in Mandinka,
yes,
with the Mandinka
and then
Ustaz,
he has the Wolof too,
and in the Wolof with the Wolof Ustaz,
mm-hmm.
then he'll be able to express himself, he'll be able to know these words
mm-hmm.
in his local language.
Indeed.
That will even help him
mm-hmm.
When even he goes through the modern school,
mm-hmm.
he'll be able to help himself with a lot of things, because whatever he learned, he will then be able to. He has enough vocabulary to be able to translate all that into his local language.
Okay.
Because of that local dara.
Okay.
Then another disadvantage is that
mm-hmm.
with the local daras, there's no certificate given to the student to say, well, this has
this
reached this particular
level.
Stage, so this is the certificate. Whereas in the modern
system,
one is given certificate. And now in this modern world, we are in the 21st century, we are dealing with certificates.
Okay.
You see, so we are dealing with certificates. Not that this person who went through this local dara is not educated. He's educated. But there is no proof. There is nothing to show that, well, even if you interview him, you find out that, alhamdulillah, he knows he has the stuff. But there is no document.
Okay.
And now we are dealing with documents.
It is.
So this another disadvantage.
Okay.
With the daras.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the daras have changed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a change
mm-hmm.
because we all know before how mm-hmm. people used to memorize the Holy Quran in this local daras.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has been modernized somehow.
It is.
Because now when we look
you
at
have
the
to
Quranic,
catch up.
You see, when we look at the Quranic schools
mm-hmm.
where people memorize the Holy Quran,
mm-hmm.
there's a very big improvement.
It is.
There's a very big improvement.
It is.
And we all know even how before people were carrying cops going around while they are under
begging,
a teacher,
begging.
Going down begging. Though it is still in other countries,
mm-hmm.
and they are also trying to take some drastic measures
mm-hmm.
over that.
Okay.
But it has reduced significantly. We
mm-hmm.
all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at these disadvantages and the advantages,
mm-hmm.
then we'll be able to see whether we'll be able to get some solutions.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Muhammad. I can see why Sheikh Hammeh wanted you to deal with this particular area too. But Sheikh Hammeh, I'm not really leave you alone. Why antagonization between these two?
Yeah.
There's a dogma, but antagonization of one another. Sheikh Muhammad has beautifully highlighted advantage and disadvantage, but their particular, both sides have this problem. There's a dogma in the other areas. There's antagonization come from both sides. Is it self-centered interest? What exacerbating these things?
Well, thank you very much, my brother, Sheikh Bashir. And I think my brother has really said it well.
Okay.
You know, actually what we expected is what was delivered.
Mm-hmm.
My brother said everything pertaining to every aspect relating to this contentious, well, an issue blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what, very minor, but because, as you mentioned just now,
mm-hmm.
there is a vested self-centered interest.
Okay.
Given an individualistic, a personalized, I mean, a formation
okay.
or an existence of the matter.
Okay.
Otherwise, as he says,
mm-hmm.
you know, nature itself is governed by specific laws and rules.
Okay.
You know, everything is on graduation. Mm-hmm. Everything moves gradually.
Okay.
And with that graduation,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there are specifications
mm-hmm.
and sometimes there are generalizations.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
graduations,
mm-hmm.
generalizations,
mm-hmm.
specifications.
Okay.
So this normally in nature, this is how nature behaves,
mm-hmm.
even with man itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at man,
mm-hmm.
you study it. You know, even in his evolutionary process,
mm-hmm.
not in the sense understood by Darwinism,
mm-hmm.
Darwin,
yeah. okay.
but I mean in the sense,
of
I mean portrayed and presented constructively
mm-hmm.
by the Holy Quran
mm-hmm.
and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and as it is evidenced
mm-hmm.
by nature itself.
Mm-hmm.
So here,
mm-hmm.
why the antagonism?
Yes.
You see, my brother, I think I would go a bit further,
okay,
you know, to try to resurrect
mm-hmm.
or to try to bring out old bones
mm-hmm.
from old graves,
okay,
you know, to point to the real cause and root of the problem.
That's what I'm working.
You see, it's very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you are either educated
oh.
or you are helped to educate yourself
mm-hmm.
or you are uneducatingly educated. You are either educated
mm-hmm.
or you are helped to educate yourself
okay.
or you are uneducatingly educated. That is unprogressively progressive in what you've learned,
okay.
in what you've achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they say in our own local
language mm-hmm.
they say not a local, I won't call it a local, but in our dialect.
Dialect, okay.
You understand?
Okay.
You see, if somebody is sleeping, the person who wakes him up, is that very person whom the sleeper, is the first person that the sleeper perceives? Is the first person that the sleeper would take as the most important person? Because immediately after sleeping, waking up from sleep, that's the first figure he saw.
Okay.
So he will think that that person embodies every virtue, every good thing
that he thinks about
is in that person.
Because that's what he saw.
Exactly. So my brother mentioned an aspect of it.
That
is some of the ustas or the sirin or some of the karamogo and even among some of the conventional scholars. They would advise their
students
not to go searching for knowledge anywhere else except with them.
I'm the only way.
Look at it.
The truth,
and you see here,
the truth and the light.
That person has
mm-hmm.
flagrantly, flagrantly and ignorantly, breach flagrantly, ignorantly, breach and goes against one of the most important hadiths said by Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Al-hikmah dallatul mu'min.
Now,
let me come to that.
Wisdom
is an object that a mu'min, a believer, or a Muslim is the most entitled to it. You understand what I mean? And he is entitled to it wherever he is able to find it. So this man is telling you not to go and listen to any other person. Take everything from me.
Will it not be mental slavery or to control?
Thank you very much. I'm coming to that. And that person, the person saying that, is not an encyclopedia. He's not a walking encyclopedia.
Okay, why that?
He knows something and the other person knows another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So here, I think my brother's point has come up, has surfaced itself.
Mm-hmm.
It is either that person does not know anything.
Okay.
Oh. He is uneducatingly educated.
Okay. I get that. What I mean? I get that point.
Well, I started the thing from, you know, the minor to the greater. Now I'm gonna take it from the greater
minor
to the minor.
Okay.
You understand? That's a reverse elevation.
Reverse, yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Going upward now. Because he does not know anything.
Okay.
He is educatingly uneducated.
Okay.
Educated.
Is he perceive himself?
In fact, he knows within himself in reality that he knows nothing.
But why?
But the existence of the other ustas there, who is a parallel to him, is a threat to his existence as an ustaz. Because he does not know and he is not qualified, then the only way is to build a very, very solid wall around his students. That person is helping an entire generation to be completely
liberated,
regressive, retrogressive, enslaved, blind, ignorant, uneducated, unanalytical, uncritical. All these things are on that generation. And is what is eating up the Ummah right now.
Why did Islam, it seems to be this is a human problem now, yeah?
Not a human problem.
Islam is getting caught out.
I don't think it is a human problem.
What is it?
Because, you know, my brother, wallahi, we're joking with time.
Okay.
We're joking with reality. We're joking with even ourselves. We are not, in a good state, time of harmony with reality as existing in this world. We are here as vagrants, as missionaries, as people sent to do something.
Okay.
But our mission is not known to us. And that mission will never be accomplished. You know why? Look, we're talking about the mental state of people.
Okay.
You see, as my brother said, you do not know. You know, you do not know. You are trying to create a generation of ignoramus around yourself. Because if they are allowed to expose, if that generation is allowed, or that community, or that student body, or that few people you have, if they are allowed to be exposed to different ideas, they're going to become different people, unmanageable. You cannot control them. So the only way is to present yourself as the epitome of intellectualism, as the specimen of perfection, as a walking encyclopedia. Subhanallah. And this is what is eating up the Ummah now. People will tell you, don't go to the Sheikh. Don't listen to the Sheikh. Don't listen to the Sheikh. Incline to them. Who are they? Who are they? Who has assigned them? Who has given them that authority to appoint people who should be listened to and who should not be listened to? Where are we going?
Confusion.
Confusion. Subhanallah. A big confusion. That's one. And my brother mentioned another aspect. That is, I said, uneducatingly educated. And somebody, either you are helped to be educated. This is what the majlis of old. What I mean, when I say the majlis of old, you know, the pioneer, the founder, the originator of all the majlis, where in one way or the other, they were perfect founders of that majlis. that order was found based on a very strong piety, sense of service to Allah and to Islam. Even afterwards, his progeny, his children,
hijacked
everything, because it's what is happening now in our community. My father's name and his surname, his achievements, accomplishments, are the passport I use, are the ID cards, the identity card I use for penetrating anywhere I want to go. A big contradiction.
Even though, in fact,
you have not even thought of doing what your father did. You don't even entertain the idea of even attempting to do what he did.
So what am I doing? Abusing orders?
You're abusing. In fact, you're abusing, violating your own humanity. You are violating your own humanity. Belittling your very self before history. And telling your progeny, your offsprings, that you are the most useless person that has come on this earth.
Because I will not leave anything
exactly
behind.
Exactly, you living by the name of a dead person. Your father is no more. And you living by his name. What is that?
Oh, yeah, I get your point.
You get the point? Let's get to the other point. Either help me to be educated.
Okay.
The majlis, either it gives you what is called material, abstract knowledge, or it gives you a perfect
knowledge
pattern of behavioral living. Your behavior is perfect, amenable, in conjunction, and it is always congruent to your environment. The majlis is always creating very good citizens, whether you have knowledge or you don't have knowledge.
But the
majlis of all, not the majlis which is created to cultivate as much money as possible.
But you are talking about the origin.
The origin. So those majlis, they create great men, even if they are not knowledgeable abstractively.
But in discipline.
Discipline. So discipline. This is helping somebody to be educated. Because education simply, even in English, it means, the process of helping somebody to develop his behavioral patterns, good behaviors, values, morals. This is what you call behavior. The other aspect is either you are educated. You see, the problem of the African, the Gambian Muslim, and the African generally, is he is confused. The African is so confused, he is still, he cannot come out of the bush. He is just beaten out of the bush intellectually. He does not even still now. Well, this is something I'm going to say it widely. And anybody who is there having the stamina and having the endurance to challenge what I'm going to say, say it. Because whatever I'm saying, I'm not saying it through my own language, but I'm speaking through the other person's language. And I'm not jingoistic. I am not somebody who is just extremely nationalistic, no. But what I'm saying is the truth. Still, we are confused. What is called education and what is called learning?
The difference of education.
It is a big catastrophe.
Okay.
I, for one, am a victim.
Okay.
I went through a colonial system of education, whereby every day I go to school until primary six. I sat for the common entrance. I was not even carrying a book. I was beaten early in the morning to memorize the table, the so-called multiplication table. I'm not educated, but I was programmed.
I get the point.
Yeah, because my mind has always been stagnant. I have never been given that enough room to maneuver within the framework of my own destiny as a being, a thinking being, to think for myself.
You're not allowed to utilize your brain?
I'm not. And this is what I'm paying now. This is the taxes I'm paying now. This is why if the Eastern people come, I go with them. The Western come, I go with them. I would call it Tubabu Londo. I call it Arabu Londo. Where is my Londo? Because I'm enslaved.
I get your point.
You see what I mean? Where is my knowledge?
I'm seeing, because we tend to become fitting the categories now.
Thank you very much. So here we have a point. As my brother mentioned, we are educated, help to be educated, and educatingly educated.
But this help to be educated, is very dangerous when you just mentioned.
If you help somebody to be educated, simply you show him the way, as they say in the parable. Before you just keep giving me a fish every day.
Teach me how to
teach me how to go catch and catch fish. A fish. Help me how to think. Because this is what the Quran, this is the methodology of the Quran. Subhanallah. You see, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the greatest reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mean, speaking to Muhammad through revelation, telling him, وَاتَّبِعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Subhanallah. You see, one thing I like.
It's very strong.
The most important thing. In fact, there is nothing called an important or an unimportant thing about Ibrahim. Everything about Ibrahim, even the name, every letter in the name is symbolism, is symbolic of a great meaning. Ibrahim, just like Muhammad, everything is has a great meaning. Look, what you see, Ibrahim tells us that. In fact, I'll just give you a three separate examples. I mean, these are practical, constructive, educational models that Ibrahim has given to the Ummah. Ma hadhihi tamathilu allati antum laha akif.
Yes.
One. If the new school comes, as my brother said, Sheikh Jallo, with all the paraphernalia they have, with all the equipments at their disposal, but they receive it very cheap without any endeavor. Books are everywhere.
So, in the silver plate.
On the silver plate. When they come, they want to transform society.
Uh-huh.
I say graduation, generalization, specification. They have to know what society I'm talking to. What are the psychology of these people?
How they think?
What actually they were able to cultivate and build on as culture and civilization over years. You don't have to come 124 hours a day. In a bright Sunday, you bulldoze an entire edifice. You don't do that.
Resistance will come.
Resistance. Use Ibrahim's method. Ask the people, why do you pray at 2 o'clock? I mean, constantly and unchangeably. Why do you do that? Okay. They will tell you, no, we found our great-grandfathers doing the same. Tell them, no, you people were colonized for 400 years or more. And the white man or the European, the colonialist, let me not generalize it. The colonial master would not allow anybody, you know, to just pause or to stop in the course of his duty. Just for simply go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the colonial master himself was an irreligious person. You know, he does 7 days for the devil and a single day for Allah. Not Allah for God, as they call it.
Ah.
So that person would never allow you to just give you time to go and pray at 1:30. Because when you go to the upcountry, the provinces, the old people were praying at 1:30 to 12 o'clock. 12 to 1:30.
Within the city, which the time was known
exactly. And you see, a colonial, you see, one of the dangers of colonialism, it is colonialism leaves you with a remnant, a solid and a fixed remnant that is unbreakable. No matter how strong you are, there must be a relic, a firm remnant that you will never be able to neutralize.
But you did say something which
let me
is
come
really cracking
yeah
up,
I'm
know?
Coming so here. These 2 o'clock prayers has created a big controversy in the community.
Without reason.
But the new school, they don't have the wherewithal to approach the situation by just logically talking to the old school, Ma hadhihi tamasil allati antum laha akifun. If they had done that, the old people, the old school would answer them that we found our great grandfathers doing the same. They would explain to them that, look, your great-grandfathers never did this. It was the colonial master
who have
out of the whip and beaten fear of being expelled. He said, do it 2 o'clock. When you close work, the slave master, the colonial master, would go and rest before you finish everything in his administrative office. By then, you will have 5 o'clock. He goes and play golf. He asks you to make tea for him. He asks you not to pray at 4:30, but pray at 5 after drinking my tea.
Subhanallah.
You see how it comes? But the new school never went to the extreme of even, I mean, servicing their mental resources to know why these things happen. I'm coming to the point.
I think it should have been a research.
This is an example.
Okay.
This is an example. You see, my brother? So this is one of the problems. So this is the contradiction between the new and the old school. Both schools are on the same battlefront, fighting against the same enemy. That is the self. but both schools have the same different, completely different weapons. Instead, the weapons are just targeted against the common enemy. They target the weapons against each other. And the enemy is there smiling and laughing, having a good party for that matter. So my brother, this is the problem. This is why I said my brother is an expert. He has to just bring everything to the surface. We have to just make some dilation.
But you have digging on something.
Okay.
I've never thought on that.
That's
too.
Exactly. So here is another aspect of it.
Okay.
So you mentioned something like a self or vested interest in the whole thing.
Okay.
Look, my brother, this is Dean.
Okay.
And Dean is life. And life is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inseparable, indivisible. You cannot separate Deen from any other aspect of your life. What is there is to use that criteria of Islam in everything that you do.
Application.
But application. But saying that this is Deen, this is not Deen, I don't think it Islam has nothing to do with that. That is a parochial, a very narrow, backward, retrogressive, and unprogressive presentation and dispensation of Islam.
Okay, now, but do you know that I'm not mentioning name.
Yeah.
There's a particular these two schools we're talking about. Mm. They are particular ones who have that perception. Islam does not mix with the life.
Yeah, you see, we have a problem
in their behavior. Exactly. They will not say.
I think I'll allow my
they
brother
separate.
I will allow my brother to say something on that. Well, okay. I'm going to cut you short. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I said it in the course of. I mean, when I'm just giving what I'm saying.
Okay.
You see, my brother. You see, if you yourself, you say kodo be tubabulia.
Okay.
Sanobi Arabolia. What do you have? Do you have Nisibuo in your country? It is Nisibuo drones.
No. And then but all these things come from here?
Yeah, there is nothing like Kajuti formula. Yeah, I mean you can't just see yourself as just absolutely nothing.
Belittling yourself.
Psychologically, it becomes entrenched. Whatever is good belongs to the order. Whatever is frivolous and bad is mine. So you are living on that existential. An existence based on fear. Existence based on lack of tranquility. An existence based on direction. Do it and you do it accordingly. You know, we are no more ready for that. We are human beings. We are guided by the Quran. And guided and directed by the Sunnah. But within the framework between these two poles, we are absolutely free to operate within the limits given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, the mind can never think what is unthinkable. Because the mind is something created.
Okay.
It's a machine installed in your body. It is not given an infinite power to think what is beyond its powers.
To exhaust what
that's is. That's it. This is why if you want to think about who is God, to personalize God, you become mad. You find yourself crazy. All these so-called dirty philosophers are mad. Because sometimes it's very strange. Mad people are giving us ideas. Because the mind is given a limitation in both scope and time. And it can never go beyond. Any attempt is going to pay the price. And that price is schizophrenia, paranoia, obsession, and eventually madness. So let me give my brother some.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Muhammad. Today you are really just scratching something. Sheikh Muhammad. I did mention, you say I should really throw that one on you.
Well, you see,
we have what you call indirect secularist views among us. If you check very deep, the person will not agree when you really break down the secularism in his view. But his entire behavior is in the secularism, which is can come in contradiction with Islam. Because when we talk about the deen, the definition of the deen is a complete way of life. Why these secularist views? Because those people who tell you, oh no, that is the religion. You find one of these schools will have that view, completely confine themselves only spiritual.
Okay, see, Sheikh Bashir, we have said it all, but we need to look at other aspects also, as far as these old schools and the new schools is concerned. You see, one thing about the old schools, some teachers, even if not all, not only trying to teach the kids, but also trying to enslave them.
Okay.
You understand? This is another disadvantage. And you see, when Sheikh Jete mentioned about the time of the prayers, we all know, even the books, Islamic books, no Islamic books, none of them of the books mention time by saying it's 2 or 1 or 1:30 or it is 4:30 or 4:15 or 5 o'clock for the Asr prayer. No book mentioned that. We all know that our fathers, if they used to follow what the Sharia says, that by looking at the shadow of things, the objects. So this is what exactly is mentioned in the Islamic books. It's about the shadows. So what brought that one is what he said. That's one of them. Then, I believe this is what has even brought some problems between some of these old school members with the majlis in terms of citing the crescent for Ramadan, to begin Ramadan or to end Ramadan. So this is some of the problems.
Okay.
Because those in the old school will think that they are the best. And also on the other hand, those in the modern school will think that they are the best. But the dialogue will help. Because that's why even the majlis during the last time, they called 2 days conference on 2 days, just on this
dialogue.
And even the people who we are saying that, okay, they are following the mazhab way of thought, books we are brought right from Mazhab Malik. And I could remember, because I was there, Sheikh Sidia Sise happens to go through, he dwell in that, the Mazhab Malik.
Okay.
He brought all the evidence on sighting the moon. So I believe on that side the Majlis has done a lot. Even though there are some people still reluctant and still resisting. There's some pocket resistance somewhere. You see, because maybe some in this old school will like some of these instructions to come from them. And not from the new school. And this is a problem. You see, so you can't say, because you are from the old school and maybe you were there long before this school come, then you are going to give instructions. You see, but instead what should be is we have to harmonize both schools.
That's where we are.
We come together. That is to say, the people in the modern school will instruct their students and other ustazis to respect those in the old school.
Okay.
And those also in the old school,
reconciliational method,
all those also in the old school, in the old school, should also instruct their own people, their own students, to respect those in the new school. Okay. In the new school. If this happens, I believe at the end we'll start to go out of the problem gradually.
Okay.
It will not be one day.
Okay.
See, so this one way forward. One way forward. So if these things are there, the people in the local in the old school know that these people in the new school are to be respected, because we are all doing the same thing, and we are all worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are trying to educate our children all together to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then if those in the old school need to respect the people in the new school, and the new school also respect the people in the old school, because the stuff is there, as I told you, the people in the old school, they have the stuff. You see, they only lack some little things.
Technical part.
You see, this is the only thing. And even some of them, if you bring them and you mold them, you find out that they are the best. They will be the best teachers. Or they are better. You see, so that's why this is, I think, the great or ustazis or so, the ulama will sit on that. I cannot talk on behalf of them, but I think this is one way forward in order to harmonize both schools.
Okay.
So that we don't belittle any.
Okay.
So if we don't belittle, if we say we are going to belittle those in the old school, or those in the old school are going to belittle those in the new school,
it will not work. Okay.
Isn't at now, we can even encourage students who are in the
modern system of education to still go and learn some of these in the old school, while they will also do the same thing after
interaction.
They will tell their kids, okay, now you can go on to the modern schools and learn so that you get more the other subjects
aspect,
so that you'll be able to get certificates. So if these things are there, alhamdulillah, very soon there will be reconciliation. Because then the Serene or the Karamoko in the local Dara will know that, well, those in the modern school are giving him some respect at least. And then if these things, and vice versa. So if these things are there, I believe we are going to move to the right direction. And then we'll come again to another problem. The different institutions of the Daras, and then the different institutions of the low and of the modern education. See, there's a problem over there, and there's another problem over there too.
This is, we will not going to leave any stone unturned, because we will deal with them one by one. As you just mentioned, this one was in my mind. A coming weeks, by Allah willing, if we still around,
inshallah,
we will deal the aspect extremism with both sides. We have extremes in the both sides, and then which we've been dealing with for quite a long, you and I even previously, the lack of skill, because all this reconciliation you have mentioned, yes, we can reconcile well, we can interact well, we all can equip what we both lack in each side, but if I don't know how to feed my family, we will go back to square one. Because I was telling you, there might be some human tendency. Some of this resentment was, he's breaking my bank. I will not allow it. But if he were well equipped with the skills, versatile, I can live with anything, we will look at eye to eye. We will not find each other as a threat. But this syndrome, it is in the both side, four schools and the second school, lack of school skills, until the Muslims are became today as a laughing stock. We abandon our false glory of the skills. We will address the extremism and then how to improve the life long skills, in order to make this reconciliation smoothly.
Inshallah.
Well, Sheikh Bashir, thank you very much for that. Actually, I think if time is there and good health is at our side, or on our side, I think a lot more is there that we need to talk about and try to, we diagnose it and try to make some prescription, medical prescription, how we're going to, you know,
cure them.
But here, in fact, I mentioned, well, I'm just going to connect this one to something very brief. You know, I said I'm going to give three examples as to why the old and the new school should come together. And at the end of it, I'll try to give some, what they call, recommendations, one or two.
Okay.
I mean, buttressing what my brother has just said.
Okay.
You see, Abraham, after telling his people, Mahatihi Tamasil, you know, this is a very, very interesting question. This is called, well, when we go to English language, it's what is called, in a figure of speech, you call it, subhanAllah.
Allegorical?
Well, allegorical, but in the sense that it is a metaphor.
Okay.
It is metaphorically. What are these images that you are bound down, prostrating, and worshipping them? You know, Ibrahim is just knowing fully well what they are doing is absolutely an abomination. But he wants themselves to answer, to give him.
Because he already knows what is happening.
Exactly.
How ridiculous.
Let the young generation, let the highly respected, highly educated, because of, you know, the spore of the moment, the realities of a situation can produce great men. You understand? So our young generation, they are actually very lucky. Everything is made for them ready. So when they want to address a situation, trying to bring a social reality in line to deen, and try to destroy and enslave, you know, an outdated cultural mental, imaginary reality. Mm-hmm. What they have to do, let them use Ibrahim's methodology. let them ask the people, why are they doing this?
What are they doing?
They will not be able to give any justification. But they, the enlightened people, they would give the people the real justifications to bring them out of what they are in, because people are already enslaved by tradition, by culture. But what I mean, a culture that has survived its own essence, a culture that is has no essence anymore. And Ibrahim, at this, the second point of his spiritual evolution, intellectual sophistication and perfection, he says, Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahima fi rabbihi an ataahu Allahu al-hukm.
Mulk.
I mean, a mulk. That person was very powerful. That person was wealthy. That person commands a large army. And that person was a dictator. A brutal vandal dictator. You understand? But look what how Ibrahim conquered him.
Namrud.
Look, this, call him Namrud or any other person. In Arabic, when we use the relative pronoun, al-ladhi, it is somebody which is specific.
Specific.
But if you want to know, you want to specify the name of the person, and it is not mentioned by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it becomes a dark person. You will never know it.
Okay.
So anybody is it fixed there.
Okay.
Anybody with that quality or that attribute is part of Al-Lazi Hajja Ibrahim. It becomes general. You understand? Al-Ismul Mawsul fi maqamul qissa wal hal. Yani takuna khasa. Wa iza aratta an tu'ayyinuha tusbihu mubhaman. So this is it. Well, for my fellows who understand Arabic.
Okay.
Ibrahim here, look how he conquered this person. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would just cause the sun to move from east to west. You the stupid guy, bring it from east to west.
If he can do
If he can do it. The person completely surrendered, submitted, and he has to accept the Ibrahim conquering him logically and rhetorically. Now we go to the third point. You know why? Ibrahim asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me or teach me how you recreate, how you resurrect, how you put life, you command life to go into the bodies of living things. Kaifa tuhil mauta. How you just cause dead things to come to life again. This is the ultimate. This is the extreme. This is the last point of question that anybody can think of. Ibrahim is telling you, you the Muslim, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a guide, and the Quran, the Sunnah as your directives, you understand? You are free to ask anything as long as the intention is
good.
I mean, you want to just bring out the truth and destroy falsehood. So for that matter, I'm begging, I'm soliciting, I'm supplicating. I'm requesting from my highly erudite, highly intellectual young generation to use the methodology of Ibrahim, of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Reasoning.
Look, I mean, when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Mecca, how Mecca was so aristocratic. But after the conquering of Mecca, look at a very good example. Man dakhala bayt Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. Abu Sufyan was given back the crown, the throne, that he was thinking that
was resisting.
He thought was removed from under him. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of his wisdom, he took back the throne and the crown to Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan became one of the greatest companions. So go to the old people, the old school, know what they're thinking, how they think, what they do, and they will respect your new thinking. Though your thinking is the correct one. But if you want to just stand there telling them you are wrong, they will never accept you. And you will eventually be lonely. Nobody will accept you.
And
you will be labeled an innovator. While you are the guy on the right track.
And then we all will be loser. Why? Why we all be loser? Because your intention to get him off the wrong.
Yeah, but on the wrong.
He can die with the wrong.
Yeah. He can just escape and go to the other side. And this is what some of the enemies, invisible or visible, this is what they use it. Anybody, you know, frictions to be there. You know, conflicts, even mentally, they will just come, they will just agitate one against the other. We are just fighting, killing each other. And what is very strange is, all these things, all the causes that are just flaring up, leading to these vendettas or these internecine wars, they are not producing even an iota. They are not impacting even an inch on social, economic, political, psychological, mental, spiritual development. That is the tragedy of the situation.
Subhanallah.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
Amen.
Guide everybody.
Hey, Sheikh Hamed, yet I think the point is very clear, Sheikh Muhammad. This was another marathon one. We will continue, by Allah willing, to have a strength in order to deal with these difficult issues, but to bring about a good result for not us, but generation to come. In that note, we are telling the greater listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
محمد رسول الله لا أعبد في الكون إلا الله ورسولي للبشر هداه.